It's the new year, time to make a positive change in your life.
I went to My Computer Career because I needed job security.
Because I wanted a career in cybersecurity.
I went to My Computer Career because IT jobs are everywhere.
My old job was going nowhere.
I went because I didn't want college loans for the rest of my life.
Because I wanted a career for the rest of my life.
Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. Financial aid available for qualified students, including the GI Bill. 529 college savings plans accepted. Not available in Washington State.
The holiest text I pray to is the sign outside of a Manolo sale.
You may think I'm a jerk, but I'll run circles around you.
we truly was like, what's a circle jerk? What's a
circle jerk?
What's a circle? The amount of times that I have been thinking about circle jerks also, over and over again.
We should do like drinking game if you're 21 and up. However many times we say jerk in this episode.
Truly, drink responsibly. Get your seltzer Kiki out because this is going to... We're going to be a little tipsy girl by the end of this episode. You guys, it's Andy Scrolls. It's episode 6. And I'm so excited to have a return guest back to the Clawfest to discuss a moment in history.
In history.
A literal moment. Like everything
they did it again.
Changed.
They did it again.
How... did they do it again? We need to talk about it. Content creator and brand marketing specialist Abby Bonadies back in the Clawfest. Welcome back to Andy Scrolls. Oh my God.
Oh my God. I'm so happy to be here because I'm ready to yap.
I cannot believe. I don't even remember what the marketing was in the lead up to the finale or if we were just because, you know, we're in a text thread with our fellow creator pals.
Yes.
And I just kind of, I mean, I expected it to be great, but was there even a part of me that's like, what if it's not great? No, there was no part of me that was like, what if it's not great? Because this season has been so spectacular.
So incredible.
Obviously, we're talking about Salt Lake City. And then when the finale started, I was just like, they fucking did it again.
Again. It's wild. And this season, truly, every episode was better than the last. Like, it just was that good that it's not even like my hopes were too high for the finale. It was just like, of course it's going to deliver. Their whole season delivered. And here we are. They over-delivered again.
And not to be a dick, but it's like we're...
Safe space.
Safe space. We're leaning into Salt Lake City. And then New York's version of going viral is Jenna Lyons wearing a like $4,000 bathrobe to the New York reunion. I'm like, all you guys have is fucking apparel. You
and
don't
pranks.
Even have
and bad pranks
and bad fucking pranks. P.S. And we will get into Salt Lake City. I swear to God, we will. But I recorded an episode with Allison Leiby coming out soon. And we just nailed New York to the fucking wall. We went in very deep on New York and also unpacked Beverly Hills.
Oh.
It was before Salt Lake City happened.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the world changed.
Yeah, of course.
And the thing that I think is so fascinating, this came out yesterday and then they both sort of deleted it from their stories. So I don't even know what's going on. Is that Erin responded on a fucking comment of somebody's post when they were talking about, I haven't seen the original post, but I assume the original post was like, what the fuck was she doing playing a weird sexual prank on her husband? And her answer to that was, well, you know, essentially jokes on you because I already told Abe what was happening before I called him. And then Uba posted on her stories and was like, LOL, obviously I was right. Like, but since now I know that she, you know, I don't remember the verbatim, but like, since now I know she called her husband, next time I'll just be silent or whatever else. But it sort of reaffirms Uba's move to be like, what the fuck are you doing? Let's stop this. The fact that the cast of New York, like Erin, doesn't have enough trust in these stupid, ridiculous pranks that she's telling her husband in advance of it, therefore invalidating the whole purpose of a prank that was moronic and actually, I think, manipulative to begin with. Why would you even think to put your husband in this circumstance, except you're not doing it because you're both in on the prank? Therefore, there's no stakes here. I feel like I'm going fucking insane.
And like the bummer of it all is if you're going to put in all that effort and text behind the scenes and put this whole thing together, like, at least make it funny. It's not even funny.
They're not funny.
They're not funny. And that's a bummer. Like, maybe one of the 6 pranks they've done hit. But, like, barely. Maybe the cockroach. in
Yeah.
That one was funny, cute, whatever. We're on a girl's trip. We're going to put it in the frittata or whatever it
right.
was. And that was funny. Every other prank has not been funny. And this one took the cake for least funny. And it bums me out because I actually do kind of like Aaron. And it, there's just like, there's something there. And maybe, I feel like we talked about this last time I was here. The thing that's weird about them is none of them seem like they're actually friends. Mm. And I actually had hoped that this season we would see a little bit more of that because it's like, oh, all right, we're in this thing together. Like, no one can relate like we can. There's never been another reboot before. We're all here in the city living this life together. And for some reason, it just still didn't feel like friendship. And we can all just see right through it.
Yeah, I think whomever is like the character behind the scenes at Severance, like whoever works in corporate during the show Severance, also cast New New York because there's no heart here.
No heart.
There's literally
just robots.
No heart. And they were just looking at individuals and just figured everybody's so excited to be on the show. Yep. It'll work as a collective. And that's not how great housewives are born.
Nope.
It's just not.
It's just not. It's too forced. And I still think there's hope with a few of them, but there has to be some sort of shakeup. And we've talked about the Paige and Lindsay of it all from Summer House coming. I don't know.
The idea of it. The hope and dream.
Because we talked about how it could only work if there's more than one of them.
Right.
It could never just be Lindsay. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if anyone here watched Selling the City, which is the new Selling Sunset in Manhattan. The one main person on it, Eleonora, is like the leader of their little team on the Douglas Elliman account. And she, in my head, would be an amazing New York housewife. So now every other show in New York I watch, I'm like, you could be on The Housewives. You could be on The Housewives. So I hope the producers are doing the same.
But she would need to go against not only her boss, but also Netflix to jump on over to Broadway. But that archetype.
Yes, exactly.
It is it's possible to find fascinating people. I haven't seen the show yet, but I do want to. It's possible to find fascinating people to do reality. But then again, she's an individual.
Friends.
Who's in the ensemble?
We need her group. Yeah.
And I'm so sorry. I did it again. I swerved when we're on the Salt Lake City path, but I just needed we're back. I just needed to acknowledge it because I saw that Instagram story. It came the day after Allison and I recorded it, sent it to her immediately. And I was just like, holy shit. Like, this is so ridiculous.
And it's
so frustrating. And I'm doing it again. The fact that she went out of her way to be like, don't worry, nobody get mad at me because I already told him. You guys can't even dumb prank. And I also think pranks are the lowest form of comedy.
I agree.
Sprinkle it. Don't have it be the base. It can be a sprinkle.
Sprinkle it. And I believe in with friends, jokes are fine. Pranks are just like mean. Yeah. I don't think pranks are funny. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's kind of like pranks are the negative version of surprises. Mm-hmm. And I am not a huge, like, I hate being surprised, but mm-hmm. I'm down to surprise people. So maybe that's where I'm like, I hate being pranked, but I hate pranking people. So I just feel like it's not entertaining for anyone to watch, and it hurts people's feelings, and mm-hmm. it gets heart rates going when they don't need to, and it's just not fun.
I just want to say once again, congratulations to Jenna for wearing a bathrobe. Like, that's the biggest accomplishment of this season of New York. Everyone should be really proud of themselves because Jenna wore a bathrobe and a fucking, like, and a pair of sunglasses, but I did see that she took them off to the reunion. So great job, everybody.
Amazing.
I could give a fuck.
You know, I love diving into the reunion looks.
You do. And that's great. I spend like 2 seconds on them. I'm like, oh, look, it's a dress. It's pretty. Mazel tov. And then I start thinking about what it is that they're going to say in the dresses.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or the pants or the bathrobe or the whatever or the jeans.
The jeans, the denim.
Like, kudos to her for being, I guess, iconic and a rule breaker. But what happened to the actual scope of your job, which was more than this? It was more than looks.
And I think the thing that we were all so excited about Jenna joining New York for, at least me, because I loved Jenna for many years, is that she was actually going to bring another level of established historical fashion that, like, now it feels like she's kind of rubbing it in our faces a little, being like the denim thing I thought was so cool. I was like, you know what?
I was
like,
into it. I was
you
into
don't
it.
Need to do a whole gown. Like, if that's what you feel comfortable in, like, hell yeah, jeans are can easily be dressed up short with a tuxedo jacket. Fine. The robe, I was like, cool, but now I feel like you're making fun of us.
Like, versus Sharon Stone going to the, was it Sharon Stone? Going to the Oscars 1,000 years ago and wearing like a Gap button down with her super designer, like,
yes,
skirt or whatever, whatever it was. Like, that was a moment that broke whatever existed of the internet, because it, yes, did feel like high, low, and fabulous. It felt 100%. Fabulous. This is like, great. You wore a bathrobe. I'm so thrilled for you.
And Jenna has done a moment like that. Like, she's worn the button down to the Met Gala. She's
done
denim
point
at the Met Gala. Like, she has broken those barriers in a cool, exciting way, not in a I don't give a fuck way. But maybe that's her new angle.
Maybe it is. I hate all of them so much. And I'm really looking forward to what promises to be an incredible reunion cycle, because Andy told us it is.
He said they all went to dinner after.
Of course they did.
Because they're just castmates on a show.
Because of course I could give a fuck. Like, literally focus on what you're doing on camera before I care about what you're doing off camera.
Yeah. Because it should align. It should align. You shouldn't be faking it for the camera.
I cannot.
Speaking of people not faking it for the camera.
I know. And we will get there. And I just want to say one more thing. And then we're done. I swear, guys.
Let it out.
This whole idea that this finale is so upsetting, it makes me actually nervous,
yeah,
that it's going to be upsetting, which is not entertaining to me.
No. Because I think back to the topic of them not actually caring about each other,
mm-hmm,
it feels like it's gonna go so low,
mm-hmm,
and explosive and over dramatic that it's like these people just shouldn't even be forcing it in a room, mm-hmm, together. Like, people will go low because they care, like the Salt Lake girlies, but like this, for whatever reason, the lead up of it feels like it is gonna be dark and twisted, mm-hmm, and unnecessary and make everyone feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, and if Uba and Aaron are having something and then Uba and Bryn are having something like bigger than that, you know what? Let's just put everybody out of their misery and not have any of these people back to the show. Because you're not having fun. It's probably not healthy for you. Most importantly, it's not good for us.
Right.
So let's make this easier for everyone. Put us all out of our fucking misery.
And if it's that unhealthy and Aaron's having a kid, Jessel's trying, yes, Uba's trying, Bryn's trying, like, mm-hmm, let's focus on like that. Like, why can't they relate on that instead of coming at each other for dumb things? Like, I feel like those are the topics that we actually had hope that these kind of like cooler New York housewives going through life differently than the rest of the country could have given us. But nope, we got pranks.
No, and we're focusing on like, did Jessel and Pavitt fuck?
Right. Like, and it's like, I don't want to know.
I don't want to know.
Like, I actually think it's funnier watching Pavitt take her to like fried chicken places.
Yes.
That's funny.
And seeing her being like, I thought I was going to date night.
Hilarious.
Because we're of two different universes and I don't take the train. Like, but again, I get it. It's so tired.
It's so tired.
Listen. I am woke. I have been woken up. I can't even imagine a universe where a person says they watch Bravo TV and they are not watching Salt Lake City.
We have risen.
We have risen.
I did a video yesterday on helping people figure out where to start when they're watching Housewives, because I get that question a lot. Like, I want to start Housewives, but I don't know where to start. And for the first time ever, one of my options was start with Salt Lake. Back in the day, I was like, New York, OC, Beverly Hills, Atlanta, New Jersey, you can't beat it. They are the big five. Like, I, you know, hold a candle that. Now I'm like, Salt Lake, it's five seasons of consistent delivery and everything we could ever dream of for Housewives. And that will get people hooked in no time.
I just, if there could be some sort of back in the day, Bethany hosting a symposium at the Learning Annex, where the producers behind Salt Lake City, like a BravoCon for producers, Bravo Prod, Bravo Productions.
That
doesn't sound different, but actually maybe it works with the themes that we experienced during the finale, where they just say, this is how I came up with this idea. And or this is how I partnered with cast members. When I took Heather Gay aside and I said, Hey, Heather, this is what we're going to do tonight. So start to work on your monologue and maybe tell the cast members, because I think everybody had a pretty good idea of what was to come.
Yeah.
To go into their phones and screenshot some stuff, even though we're also going to show a beautiful moment of everybody sitting quietly and looking for things. Do I think everybody had a heads up about those screenshots? Abso-fucking-lutely I did.
Yeah. And I love them all. And I'm sure that they are very savvy. There is literally no way all of them within the 15 minutes, say, they sat there in quiet on their phones, could actually find those texts, screenshot them, and know exactly what context they were talking about them in. Like, I would think that a bunch of us, like, creators could do that pretty easily. But these housewives, I'm like, they even say themselves, they don't like to, like, use their phone. Someone else runs their accounts. This, that, and the other thing. It felt too savvy to do that quickly for them to find the meanest thing they could say, which some were, some weren't, which we will get into.
One of them said after the fact that what they did was, like, search for a cast member's name.
Yeah.
I would have probably searched for, like, cunt. And then been like, 100%. Who did I call a stupid twat?
Jerking off.
Right. Like, literally. Poor Jonathan. Poor John Barlow. This man has been sacrificed.
Sweet man.
So sweet. Has been sacrificed so many times by other housewives seeking revenge. And, like, do we have an insight into, like, questions that have come up about, like, Lisa and John and money stuff? We haven't gotten into that. God help me. I'm kind of okay that we haven't.
Yeah,
because,
I'm,
like,
good on that.
Whatever's cooking
whatever
right now.
Whatever they need to be, they need to be. Like, that's,
like,
their thing.
It says something so craven and nasty about Whitney Rose that she needs, because, you know, there's been conversations about, like, is so-and-so slut-shaming or whatever else, that she doesn't even get into the business stuff. And arguably, she's doing this because she's upset that people know that Prism is kind of fake.
Yep.
So she's upset that people know that this incredible jewelry company is, like, maybe allegedly, you know, getting designs from the same factory that Alibaba is using because they don't have an exclusive.
Which is fine. It, like, if that's how, you know, there's a lot of businesses, like, it's not that different than designer shoes coming from the same warehouse as the department store label. They're all the same shoe. Mm-hmm. It's just however much they're marked up. And it didn't feel that crazy. But, you know, she feels very strongly about Prism and she went low. But I think we need to take it back to the Lisa lunch at the beginning of the episode first.
When we had a map at that point that we were going to go dark.
Dark.
We had
and
a
not
map.
Just dark like Lisa's wigs.
Lisa Barlow taking as the best compliment when people are just going in their brunette wigs, and also Lisa Barlow's, like, reaction to it, the
perfection.
Joy in her face was iconic. But Lisa Barlow taking it as the greatest compliment when people are just impersonating her by saying just how much money they have and the
and that they want a Diet Coke.
And that they want a Diet Coke and the brands that they're wearing and her being like, this is incredible.
Incredible.
This is exactly me. Is
why we love her.
We love her. I don't know that we needed a window into Lisa Barlow in that way. I think we've already seen that. We've
confirmed that feeling.
It's been peer to peer. We've been peering in there, peeking in there for a while. But when Whitney got up, the thing that upset Lisa, probably at the same level of the circle jerk, is the fact that it was being joked about or theorized that she might return her clothing. That was, like, the biggest it cut her so deep.
And I think what was so funny about that, like, 30 seconds at that lunch when Whitney got up, turned around and started walking away, Lisa actually, at least it seemed genuine, like, she was like, oh, your tag's sticking out. Like,
I know.
She didn't even get that was part of the shtick. So then when Whitney had to then re-explain that, Lisa was like, fuck no. No way. You're going to double down. That was so far from what I even thought you were doing that I thought your tags were hanging out because you're tacky and you do that. It was just, you couldn't write it. It was perfect.
And then Whitney being like, you're a stupid whore. Like, she tripled down on it.
Like, Whitney's got some anger there.
I genuinely think, and I mean this with all the kindness in the world, I think she's like the dumbest person in the world. And I don't even mean that. Like, I think Whitney can be smart. I genuinely do. I don't want to get into the, like, I don't want to fall into the trap of being, of getting into things where women are thought of as less intelligent or less serious because of the tone of their voice. Because that's right. So unfair and is rife with so much misogyny and so much else. But also, if we take a step out of this and we think about the fact that she's coming this hard at Lisa because of stuff relating to Prism, which is a joke. I don't know if her, because her background and Justin's background are allegedly in MLMs, that she thinks that this has potential. But like, someone needs to tell her that her brain needs to form a different shape than a pyramid scheme, because she keeps thinking that she's
get her.
No, but she's just won like $10, but we're be selling it for $60, bangled away from financial greatness. No one cares about Whitney monetizing and her company's aside from Whitney and other people whose last name ends with Rose.
And the fact that she thinks it's that big of a deal that it would make sense for her to go that low to bring other people's marriages and all that other stuff into it to defend her business is straight up delusion. Like, you can't go from, like, Lisa heard this from a blog, which is still not even confirmed, to you and your husband are the new Mormon swinging wives of Salt Lake. Like, that's crazy for her to have done. And she just does not stop. She hates Lisa. I think she's so jealous of Lisa.
And she keeps talking about receipts.
Receipts.
I'm like, bitch, show the receipts.
Show the receipts.
You can't just keep saying, I have receipts, and that does not mean you have a receipt. Saying you have receipts is not a receipt.
Haven't you seen the binders and the posters and all these other things everyone else has brought to reunions and things? Not to say maybe she will in the reunion. I don't know.
I hope she doesn't.
I hope she...
Block her from Kinko's. Yeah, I hope she
literally
doesn't.
Literally, FedEx, look out.
Literally.
But I just think that she has too many words that have no backup. And even Heather said it in her... Heather finale monologue gay said, we're too focused on receipts and proof. And that's actually the only thing Whitney's focused on. If she were to pull back, she could see that, but she's too far gone. She's in too deep.
And this is the thing that drives me fucking insane, but everybody's infected. Everybody on every franchise. Then I started to think, because you and I are both Kyle apologists.
Yes.
Because then I started to think, like, but then I'm like, Kyle does this too. Like, I'm sure Lisa Vanderpump did it at the height of her being on Beverly Hills. People get too close to content creators. And that, if that is driving story and revenge plot, I just want to take them out of it. I just want to be like, as Heather was saying, like, it's sort of embarrassing that you're depending on this person.
This stranger, she called him.
This stranger. Yeah. And you're not even giving us evidence. It's actually mortifying.
It's embarrassing.
I have secondhand embarrassment for both of them, because I'm like, you guys are in the big leagues. Like, what the fuck are you doing? And if you were so upset at Monica last season for, I thought, arguably absolutely valid reason,
absolutely
what
valid.
The fuck are you doing now?
It was almost like the thing with Reality Vantis and Monica became so much bigger than they ever thought it would. That is just the world they live in now. And Whitney's like, well, this is how I'm a housewife. Like, we talk about what happens online and then it's brought up on camera. And it's like, no, you're just supposed to like live your life and like fight with these women about regular stuff. We don't need you to talk about strangers telling you things that might not be true and then double down on it and then actually have no proof whatsoever, but say you have proof.
Last year, save more money was the most popular New Year's resolution in America. Clearly, a lot of us feel like our money is slipping through our fingers. But it's not your fault. The whole world is trying to spend your money. There's streaming apps, delivery fees, tips on self-checkout machines. The list goes on and on. Good thing there's Acorns. Acorns hopes to grow your money into more of your money. Especially helpful for me because living in New York City, I swear you walk outside and somehow you've spent $100 before walking a single solitary block. In New York City, of course, we always say everything is at your fingertips. But with all of these delivery services, especially if I'm recording in the middle of a Peacock binge, shout out the Traders, those delivery fees really, truly add up. Acorns can help you fight back. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing so your money has a chance to grow for you, your kids, and your retirement. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that fits you and your money goals. And you don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you invest with the spare money you've got right now. You can start with $5 or even just your spare change. I spend a lot of time on the pod talking about emotional intelligence. Financial intelligence is equally important. Head to acorns.com/andyscrolls or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/andyscrolls. Could your daily routine be full of hormone disruptors? There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. In our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, this season of Real Housewives of New York, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through. For me, it's those couple days before my period when I just don't feel like myself. And there's also perimenopause and menopause. And while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we don't suffer through it. The good news is we don't have to suffer through anymore because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hashtag spiritually mid-20s plus. That's why Hormone Harmony is perfect for women of all ages who are struggling with life-disrupting symptoms such as PMS symptoms like irritability, moodiness, discomfort, menopause symptoms like hot flashes, night sweats, poor sleep, and feeling tired all the time. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code AndysGirls for 15% off today. I never knew you could treat depression symptoms from your phone. But with this prescription app called Rejoin, it's possible. It's for adults age 22 and up with major depressive disorder who want to add to their antidepressant medication. And get this, it's the first and only prescription app authorized by the FDA to treat depression symptoms. Rejoin does not replace your current medication. Be sure to use as directed by your healthcare provider. And if your depression symptoms worsen, seek help immediately. Get started today by talking to your healthcare provider or visiting meetrejoin.com. That's meetrejoin.com.
She's a mess.
She is a mess. I've been contacted by like former, at that point, you know, current Bravo people who are like, hey, I have a, you know, polite bone to pick with you about something you said in a podcast. Fine. My response is always, you shouldn't be listening to podcasts.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be listening to, it's not a good idea. And also people are, we can only go off of what we're watching on TV. This is a comedy opinion psychology podcast where if you're giving me information, there's a problem here because I should only be going off of what I watch. I do not understand the breaking of the like sort of parasocial relationship that many of us absolutely feel we have that are connected to housewives. And then the goal being like wanting to be friends with these people. That's just not a language that I speak. But I also think if you're taking it into the show this much because you trust this random stranger or whomever that you've met on the internet through the show and it's coming at the cost of your quote unquote like Salt Lake City sisterhood
friendship. Yeah,
there's a problem here. And I get the Monica thing is different because it was she didn't tell people that she was a content creator. It's a totally different
thing. And but the attachment to Jen Shaw of it all like that, right. That ran deep. It all was valid, made sense. But this just feels like loose and stupid for Whitney to still be focusing on, and for Meredith even too to still bring up, like, he reached out to me and he told me he has no proof it was Lisa and he called me and this, that, and the other thing. Heather nailed it in that moment. She was like, this person should not have your number. She was like, he shouldn't be calling you. He should not be able to contact you guys. That is not what we're here to do. And I was like, snaps for Heather, because sometimes, yes, her monologues feel a little too rehearsed and a little carried away.
That part felt right.
That part felt right. And I was like, that, I think that part actually needed more emphasis because she is completely valid in saying content creators should not have housewives' phone numbers. And if they do, it should be completely unrelated to the show.
They might, it just might be the universe that we're in, that that just comes with currency, connection comes with currency, and it pays off for housewives. Like, if you feel you have somebody that you have a relationship with, maybe their content will be lean, or you can like drop receipts. People do that all the time. Like, when you think about the world of Hollywood and everywhere else, like, people have publicists who are constantly coming up with ways to, you know, defend your character or drop whatever. Many of these women also obviously have publicists, but there is a different kind of, I don't know, different role when it comes to reality TV that content creators can have, where they have just a little bit more of a voice than they would arguably otherwise, where there's more of a barrier blocking you to this person. Yeah. It's like not like a fan club. It's something else. But I do think it's weird that both Meredith and Whitney are yelling at each other because they're like, my evidence is that this person told me the information I wanted to hear and I trust them. Trusting someone outside the group is not evidence.
That's not evidence. And like, to bring it to trust, I think is crazy, because what they're trying to do here is prove that they want to trust one another in this exercise and that they shouldn't trust people outside, because for the last two seasons, or the entirety of Salt Lake, their trust has been broken a lot, which is why they flipped out on Britney recording in the Sprinter van. Like, they are traumatized on broken trust and liars and people who have been scheming them. And now they're just like looking for reasons to do it to each other. And I think it's kind of like such a waste of emotion and energy in that they're even bringing this person back up on camera again.
Also, Whitney has done something incredible, because the conversation is, did Lisa or someone else share info with content creators that I've been using the same products or not stealing from Alibaba, but like using the same products and repurposing them as something greater for Prism, versus are we actually doing that? The question is now,
right,
who in the cast betrayed me by trying to get this information out?
Amazing
versus
point.
Versus this actually did arguably happen, that they're using the same products for this joke company that nobody cares about. Like, she's put the level of stakes here are so fucking high, because yes, it is about betrayal, but also no one cares about your jewelry line, which is why it's so great.
It's so great
because it's like, we don't care about Prism. Nobody cares about Prism. I don't even know that Whitney cares about Prism. Whitney is doing the thing that we've seen over and over again, specifically in the environment of Salt Lake, which is focusing entirely on optics and not the truth.
Not the truth. It obviously would not have made for as great of a show, but Whitney could have easily just had some sort of business paper or something printed out that just said, like, this isn't the case, or this is a typical standard for this kind of, you know, outsourced jewelry company. This happens a lot. It's happened here, 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 and here, and we could have been done with it. But to your point, instead, she didn't focus on clearing her business's name whatsoever. Mm-mm. She focused on ruining Lisa's name for potentially being involved in spreading this potential rumor or truth to a podcaster that no one really knows or cares about in this instance.
She could have referenced the SEC stuff of it all from a couple seasons ago, but 100%. She didn't. She went for, there is a rumor involving sex and tawdriness that I'm going to use as a bomb. And then she goes on the after show and she's like, yeah, have I said worse things about Lisa? Absolutely.
Duh.
But then she does this fucking thing where she's like, but my intent was to say it's so terrible. I was like spreading this rumor that I always knew wasn't true. So now I'm going to like wink, wink, blink, blink, bring it in front of a camera crew so that now everybody is talking about it, which I think is so terrible.
So terrible.
So entertaining.
So entertaining.
So entertaining. I'm not, let's keep it real.
Yeah. We laughed. We cried.
I screamed. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it.
We were texting. It was insane.
100%.
But the fact that she has convinced herself that she's clearing the air mm-hmm. when all this did was actually bring it to air mm-hmm. is insane.
Well said.
Because no one knew of this whatsoever. Even Lisa said in that moment, she was like, I wish you made fun of my looks. Tell me I'm ugly. Mm-hmm. Like that's what the actual point of this exercise was. Say I was a cunt. Say I'm ugly. Say I got bad plastic surgery, that I've returned my clothes, all those things. Like say those, we're supposed to talk about mean things, not spread additional horrendous rumors and bring it to air.
Well, here's the rub. It's not that nobody knew about this.
That's true.
Because somebody did know.
Yep.
Which adds a little bit of a wrinkle.
Which adds another jerk.
Maybe there's another jerk here. I think for the Stangies, however you feel, and God help us, I hope we get to it. Angie's text about Bronwyn.
Ooh.
I gasped. I was just like Instagram storing my reactions to things while I was watching The Finale. And I think it was all caps. It was like, Angie, what the fuck? Because that was the meanest. Angie is a lot more complicated than people give her credit. And she's not a fucking angel. But the fact that Angie has the ability to say like, Lisa, you haven't shared enough about your life. So I know more about whichever person she was, was it Bronwyn? I know more about Bronwyn in this moment than I ever knew about you or whatever the fuck she was saying. And she knew that Whitney had texted her this shit, this rumor, whatever, and didn't respond.
Yep.
And didn't tell Lisa.
Yep.
That's a big problem.
That's a big problem. And I think people are missing how big of a problem that is. And that's why Lisa went after Angie. It did happen so fast in the episode. There is a little bit more space in the extended version on Peacock. Mm. But it happened so fast that people's first reaction was like, why the fuck is Lisa yelling at Angie? And it's like, well, if you dial back 10 minutes, mm-hmm. Whitney said she sent that to Angie. And that's exactly why Lisa's yelling at Angie, being like, we've made up. What if this was about fucking you and your husband? How does it feel? And she was just going off the rails and I kind of loved it. But she, mm-hmm. but Bronwyn and Angie's little excursion there through that series of words Angie put together was so glossed over by the yelling and the mic getting ripped off and the pointing fingers and the whole thing. We need to go back to that because the banana peel of it all is insane.
It was a literal wild thing. Not that
a poetic work of art, some may say.
A cutting rules. I'm stamping over your heart as it's like bleeding on the side of the street. I do just want to say I'm not giving any kind of feedback because everything that was done during the finale was absolutely perfect.
Perfect.
But the thing that I wish I had heard from everybody was what. This is the text message and who I sent it to.
Yep. We only got it for some.
Because then it gets into loyalty and this mm-hmm. person said this thing to you and what did you say in response?
Yep.
That I think, but maybe that'll be a next season thing. Maybe that'll be a reunion thing. And reunion. I also understand why it might not have happened because they might have been texting someone in production.
1,000%.
So it's like if you're buddy-buddy with your producer and you're venting and you don't want to have the hot mic moment of she fucked half of New York, now she can go fuck herself, you're going to text Susan producer to be like, I'm really upset about this thing that happened during filming or whatever landed in Page Six or whatever else. I understand. Or if it's they're texting their publicist or their assistant.
Right.
I understand why you don't want to
break. Hairdresser.
Or their hairdresser. I understand why you don't want to like break that. Yep. But it would, just for me selfishly, where's that extra tier of Peacock, more secrets revealed?
Yeah.
I would buy that immediately.
And what the other person's response was, mm-hmm. when said text was sent, because Bronwyn's, or the one about Bronwyn from Angie, I believe, was sent to Heather.
The one about Bronwyn by, yes, was sent to Heather, was sent to Heather.
So I would love to know, after Angie says that Bronwyn's husband is half in the grave and half on a banana peel and her ears are stitched to her face, what did Heather respond?
So this was what Angie Kay referenced as a little ditty.
Obsessed.
When she said a little ditty, and I was like, Teddy Joe, this isn't about you. But like that little phraseology, I love the
brings
lyric.
Brings us back.
She said, and the way that it started, I was like, oh, fuck. If someone says I seem nice, I know they're about to tell me to go fuck myself. But even worse than that, Bronwyn seems nice. I like her business plan, marrying a guy who has one foot in the grave. And then she stops to say, oh, she's already crying when she sees Bronwyn. And I was like,
Angie's like kind of like giggling.
People need to track Angie Kay and Brittany's reactions to the worst things that are said about people. And they're both glowing.
Glowing.
What does that tell you? Yeah. It tells you these people are meant to be on TV and I love them forever.
Yep. Me too.
She said, I'm in a business plan, marrying a guy who has one foot in the grave and one on a banana peel. But I like mine better. I'd rather be self-made. She's nice, but she doesn't listen because her ears, this is when I was like, I cannot believe this is continuing. It's getting worse. But she doesn't listen because her ears are stitched down to her face so tight she can't hear anything. She wears a hot dog outfit to remind us she sucked her way to the top. Where has this Angie been all this time? Stangies, I'm not telling you you're wrong to stan. I also stan, but
yeah,
I'm saying
Angie.
Like, she's a lot meaner than I had any idea she could be.
And the fact that Angie does not bat an eye as Bronwyn is reading this, Angie's like, well, hell yeah, I said that. Like, that is, to even cook that up in her brain, and to quote the infamous Dorinda, gone too soon.
Mm.
Gosh, traitors reference.
Spoiler.
Sorry. Or from Roni, whatever,
or
you want to take that
or
as.
Or from Roni.
Or from Every Girl's Trip, whatever.
Yep.
Say it, forget it, write it, regret it.
Yeah.
Angie did not regret. She did not regret that was in writing. She owned it, and her only thing was, I'm sorry, that's how I felt in the moment, and I do love your hot dog costume. That's all she said.
I know that we're focusing on whether or not there was some jerking off happening with John, Lisa, and a third, but I get
or
it.
Or Sean in a circle.
Or Sean in a circle, which was, to borrow from, I know, one of your favorite franchises,
yep.
An analogy.
Yep.
Nobody got it. And even on the after show, people still didn't get it. She wasn't saying she actually heard that.
Nope.
She was saying, how would you feel if people said Sean was involved in a circle jerk? I understood it because I had watched Gia Cokegate during New
Jackie
Jersey.
Jackie Teresa, of course.
And we all, speaking of people saying, I understood it was a terrible example.
The analogy from hell.
But she wasn't saying she heard it. She was saying, how would you feel if your loved one, circle jerk, etc.
It was brought up in this context on air, not totally for no reason, but, you know, without good context or manipulative.
The context, if she had maybe said as an introduction, I'm about to say an analogy, and then had defined it, it would probably be helpful. But Lisa, we can't ask Lisa to do that.
And she was in the heat of the moment. Or even if she said, how would you feel if someone read a text that was like, I heard your husband
people
was.
People wouldn't even hear the like.
Nope.
How would you feel if someone read a text that absolutely happened? Because this is not an analogy.
We're just screaming.
And also, if I was Lisa, I would circle back to Angie at the reunion and be like, see how upset you were when I named an analogy? Did you express that kind of upset to my poor, sweet, innocent husband?
Yep.
Yada, yada. Because we're all looking at this form of sexuality and stuff as guilt or
right,
not, which is its own.
The shaming is wild.
It is its own thing. But like, did you respond and say how insane that rumor, or what was your response? Or was it a laughing emoji?
Yep.
Angie.
Yep.
What's happening here?
Did you like it? Did you thumbs down it? We need to know.
Did you heart it?
Yep.
Did you exclamation point it? Did you call Lisa and tell her about it? We know you did
not. We know you didn't. And at the reunion, if I was Lisa, I would say, you stood up and threw flowers in my face at the thought of me bringing something like that up. Why aren't you backing me up that this was brought up for real about my sweet, dear husband?
And Lisa did say on the after show, I paid for those flowers. The restaurant did not.
She should.
How dare you? Because it all goes back to cash. But I do have to say, I'm not, because I get, if anybody came, let's finish that sentence. If I was married to John, poor, sweet, innocent, delightful
angel
Joe in the wood, yeah. John Barlow. If I was Lisa, I would fight to the death for my sweet, wonderful husband.
And she is.
And I appreciate that. But also, if you're Bronwyn and someone is saying, your husband's about to die, you have bad plastic surgery, which was just the cherry on top of the sundae.
That was like a light little something in there.
Because I'm still thinking, your husband's about to die. And also, it's, I actually think, is Angie a poet? You're you're wearing a hot dog costume because you sucked your way to the top. You fucked this man. You're just waiting for him to die. And also, in case it hasn't been expressed enough, your old husband is about to die. The man you don't even want to fuck is about to die. I couldn't recover from that. So apologies to John Barlow, but like, I actually think the meanest thing that was said was what Angie said.
100%. And Bronwyn took it like a champ.
She did take it like a champ.
She said, we are letting it go and I will forgive you. And Angie was like, I'm sorry. I do love your hot dog costume. If I was Bronwyn,
I would never let it go.
I would have flipped out more than Lisa flipped out. That was insane. And that makes me think, has Bronwyn said even worse? Has she said even worse things where she is like, all right, well, I mean, I said some pretty bad things too, so I'm just going to let that go. And we're just going to move on. And maybe no one will ever yell at me if something I said gets brought up.
That's a great point, because the question here is, this is the interesting dynamic, because it's not, no one's holding, we don't have access to your phones. I wish we did. That would be a premium tier.
And unfortunately, they were all screenshots, so there was no scrolling happening.
Because they were all thinking,
just
this
like
conversation,
Kyle with her PK text.
Amen. This conversation is continuing. I only want to give you a little bit because the rest of it would be worse for me.
Yep.
But people are thinking to themselves, am I actually going to share the worst thing that I've said about someone? Am I going to share something about someone that I know that they have to take? Because now the framework of this is like, you can't get upset past this point. You just got to take it. So am I going to like genuinely look for the worst thing because this is my get out of jail free card? Or am I going to look for the thing that may not be perceived as typically bad, but will work for me and how I think the audience will yep. perceive me once I reveal a la Britney that I'm actually an incredible person and have never said anything bad about anyone except I'm changing an RSVP.
That little interaction was absolute art. Mm-hmm. Mary's first face I immediately screenshotted, where she raises her eyebrow and looks at her. Mm-hmm. And then Brittany says, that is the worst thing I've ever said. And Mary just hands her back the phone. That's great. Beautiful art, talented, brilliant, never been done before. Mary, 10 out of 10. Like, what a subtle part of the episode that was so funny. The that's great needs to be a reaction shot for the ages.
Brittany does not know how to do this at all. She does not have...
keep her, because the mess is so good.
Forever. Do not ever promote her.
Never.
It will break this.
I agree.
It will keep her right where she is right now. It will keep her where she is, but maybe a dangle a little carrot in the shape mm-hmm. of a snowflake and be like, maybe, but don't even do that. Just let Brittany be Brittany, because she does not understand how to do this so much. And her recent social media indicates
Wild.
To me that she is tripling down and not being a part, not even being close to the joke.
Yeah.
Not even being close to it.
She doesn't think there's a joke.
She thinks she's in on the joke.
Yeah.
She thinks she's in on the joke, but also like the joke is that like...
You're the joke.
But also the joke, like everybody's celebrating me because they're talking about me. And
no press is bad press, I guess.
No press is bad press. Brittany, all press is bad press, but like you keep, I mean, did she create the press machine? Like who are we to say? Like she is so special and so specific, and I just want her to continue to achieve
the special surface level nature she's at. Like when she tried to bring like a huge bomb of being like, Mary was recording out the window. It's like, no.
What was that? What did that even?
She was, because I think when they were at the Lisa lunch, Brittany said something in her impression and was like, see, like we all record each other. We all talk about each other, something like that. And Heather just goes, we don't all record each other, Brittany. And she's like, yeah, we do. Mary was recording out the window on the way here. And everyone was like, that's when she walked away and started crying. And that's when Angie followed her.
Oof.
And we need to talk about the Angie and Mary combo. But she just like so deeply doesn't get it. It's beautiful.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And also, my guess is that if this even happened, Mary was like recording the sights as the car. She literally doesn't understand that like recording a beautiful beach is not the same thing as secretly recording people fighting.
There was probably no one talking when Mary was doing it.
Or she was going to put a fucking song behind it
because she's not an idiot.
Right. Mary is so much better than Brittany, and I love that for us.
I love the spectrum of it all. It's crazy. And I put this on Threads. We are loyal Threads people here,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm, I do it all the time.
Yep. That I am giving Mary comeback of the century MVP housewife award from where she was like, I'm not even stepping foot in a restaurant. Get me a McDonald's fish filet and I'm sitting in the Sprinter van, to the vulnerability, friendship, openness, hilarity in her one-liners and the full energy she gave to this season. I am like bowing down to Mary. Like she gave it to us in every sense of the word. And I hope she keeps it up because like she is becoming a top tier housewife before our eyes.
The interaction between Mary and Angie, the crying, the tears, her going into a little deeper in the confessional during the dinner about I'm an adult who
has abandonment issues.
The way she was communicating it, the connection to each other, Angie really going out of her way to, because she could have been defensive and she would have had a right to, honestly.
And we've seen Angie be defensive in almost every other scenario, much smaller than this. 100%.
So the fact that she understood the gravity of it, the stakes of it, and was like, I can self-sacrifice a little bit here. Yep. And also, Mary, I think, listen, did Angie do anything wrong? I don't think so, because it's also like you're recording a TV show. Somebody needs to do it.
Right.
Somebody needs to go
to
Brittany.
Okay to feel bad for Brittany.
Yeah, like, it's that okay was to sad. Feel bad. Yeah, 100%. Well, I mean,
it's fine. You don't want to see someone cry
right.
like that.
But for Angie to be like, Mary really needs me to see her, and I do, and I just need to clearly say out loud, I love you, and I think the ... is I'm not going to leave you.
Yep.
Because what Mary was doing was leaving Angie before Angie fully shut the door, and Angie being like, I am... There's no door here.
Yep.
There's literally no door. We're inside. I love you.
And she even said forever.
I know.
Like their friendship seems extremely genuine to me, and I would hate for something on this show to happen to them.
It will.
I know. I was going to say like LVP and Kyle. Like,
But this feels
deeper.
This feels deeper because I do also think the power dynamics with LVB and Kyle.
Easily.
The role of production, the role of like,
and it was
we
just
need
much
each
more
other.
Elongated.
It was strategic too. This feels a lot more
totally.
Connective, a lot realer.
Angie, while she may be extremely mean behind the scenes, allegedly,
shit.
Mary now sees that she can trust Angie with that information about her son and all that stuff before Mary was ready to bring that to anyone else. And I think that was huge for Mary. So I think they genuinely have this connection. And I'm sure Angie has, you know, relied on Mary for some things that have not made it to camera, too.
I hope she has.
I hope she has, too. And I kind of remember back on, like, the We All Went Out to Dinner after the reunion thing, seeing somewhere that everyone from Salt Lake went out to dinner after the reunion except Mary and Whitney?
No, it was, I think it was everybody went except for Mary, which doesn't mean anything because,
doesn't mean anything.
Because Mary just didn't want to go and we love
maybe
that journey
for
her. She
wanted to go home to her son
and
or whatever it is.
Just it's a different thing. There's not as much like
okay,
a,
I thought there was someone else there.
There was somebody else there. Oh. The other person, allegedly, was Bronwyn.
Oh.
Bronwyn allegedly is getting dragged to fucking hell.
Eek.
During the reunion.
But she already got dragged by Angie in one text.
She has been dragged, but also
dragged by that red skirt, that Carolina Herrera, Karlie Kloss Met Gala look.
Off she goes in that reunion.
Oh, bummer.
She bought a Met Gala look that Karlie Kloss wore to the Met. To wear to the reunion because we needed a reminder that she has, say it with me now, all the money in the world.
All the money from her husband in the grave.
Well, and God, the banana peel
the
of
banana
it all.
Banana peel.
It's tough.
And
it's
that,
a tough moment.
Speaking of all the money in the world, I think we are going to get Bronwyn in an immediate drag in the reunion because Lisa just comes right out and says, as soon as Andy introduces Bronwyn, says, I thought you'd wear the necklace. To the reunion. And Lisa goes, I'm friends with the jeweler. You didn't buy anything.
Which I have been a necklace truther.
Yep.
Shout out to friend of the pod, BBDB. And I have had an extraordinary conversation, a continuing conversation about it. Because I said from the jump, and other people disagreed with me, that she didn't buy the necklace.
There was no way.
Which is all fine and good if... whatever. I was just saying, like, people are assuming she bought this thing and it just didn't happen.
It didn't happen.
She was saying she was considering whatever, blah, blah. She didn't buy it. Otherwise, we would have seen a follow-up scene
yep.
of her buying it. The whole thing is like, we're considering it, whatever, blah, blah. But so you can wear this thing in the agreement, the jeweler appears on camera. That it
Easy.
Has happened before. But people assuming that she had that purchase yep. for her was driving me fucking insane.
And if I were Bronwyn, I would take that as an opportunity to go right back at Lisa or any of them and say, I would never spend ridiculous money like that. Of course I didn't buy it. It was fun to think about. Some of you spend ridiculous money on your rings you wanted to replace or this, that, and the other thing. Like, I understand the value. And that was not where I was going to bring my money, blah, blah, blah. Like, I feel like that would be a great twist for her that I'm sure she's going to not be able to handle.
Yeah, because her response in the reunion trailer, which looks obviously spectacular.
Yeah, amazing.
Was like, what was
she was
response?
Like, and then it like cuts, I think. Like, I think
like
she gets
was, like
defensive.
Considering it or something. And then Lisa's like, no, I spoke with the jeweler. I'm friends with the jeweler. You never bought it. I mean... because then we get into, as you said, like essentially who's shitting away the most amount of money,
exactly.
which is something that I would think the winner is the one who's losing in this. But of course, it's also about like, did you pretend or whatever that you were actually considering this? Did you actually buy it? Let's stop pretending.
Yeah.
But also Bronwyn is a little new to this game. And I think she's spiraling a little bit because she's constantly changing her strategy,
yep.
which is, I think, the number one way to get Olympians mad at you
mm-hmm.
if you're constantly changing the way that you're training and participating in this game.
And it's too clear episode to episode that she doesn't have, not that she needs to have a strategy, but that she does keep flip-flopping, as Heather would say. And it's all to do with her being friends with Lisa Barlow before she came on the show. One episode, she wants to work it out. The next episode, she thinks she's bigger than life and can bring Lisa down from the top of the mountain, of the avalanche. And I just think that she's too inconsistent in her direction that it's hard to believe in her and believe her in what she's saying. And even at the end, of the finale, which again happened so fast and the confessionals are popping up, it's hard to keep track. Bronwyn doubles down again against Lisa in her confessional at the end. So I would assume that in the reunion, they are going to continue to go after one another.
Yeah, she says some wildly,
yeah,
strongly negative things about Lisa,
yep,
during the after show. She said some stuff on social. She's coming really, really hot, which arguably is a good thing. I just think Bronwyn sometimes comes off as like, I'm too good for this a, yeah, little, where I'm like, that's not really gonna work with
then
these
people. You don't
people.
Need to be here.
Yeah, because we need to play a little bit more in the mud. And if you're saying you don't want to get dirty while you are actively dirtying yourself, there is going to be a natural contradiction that people are going to exacerbate. And Heather Gay, regardless of, or maybe not regardless of how you feel about how hot she came in about Bronwyn at the beginning of the season, can fuck you up. But
yep.
So, but Bronwyn is good with her words. So
extremely.
I actually do think it's well matched.
Brittany trying to read Bronwyn's text about what she said about Brittany. And she said, like, parentifying. And
yeah.
Brittany, like, stumbled over the words, speaking of Bronwyn's words.
Yeah.
That was another one where I was like, this sweet, sweet Brittany.
I mean, Brittany, there could be an argument made because it's directly referencing parenting.
Yeah.
And also, we just had
like
to...
like, that got glossed over.
Well, also... when Heather, this is so terrible, but even before this, when Heather is like naming the things that have been said about people, so-and-so is a bad person, so-and-so is like bad at work or whatever. And then whomever on camera, the editor, when she's like, so-and-so is ugly and the camera goes to Brittany, I was like, this is too far.
Too far.
This is too,
too
far.
Far.
Did I laugh?
Of course.
Yes, but it was too far. So this is the text that Bronwyn said about Brittany. She said, Brittany is emotionally, I think this is what she
said. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Brittany is emotionally manipulative. She
It is hard.
She parentifies her children, trauma bonds in relationships, and is doing it to us. It's below her intelligence level. It's kind of a compliment. Her age and maturity level. That's not. And it makes me feel nervous, furious, and embarrassed for her.
That's mean. Like, that's a mean text. That mm-hmm. is, it's not on par with what Angie wrote about Bronwyn. But like, mm-hmm. if I was Brittany and I got that upset about what happened at lunch, that would have took me out, that text. Like, how did she not melt into her seat after hearing that and not pull the classic Housewives, how dare you bring my children and my parenting into this? Like, she just folded, at least from what we saw.
I do also have to say that, like, maybe it's getting a little lost here, and I am certainly partially to blame for that, just in the, like, honestly, the Angie text,
yeah,
and then the
blow up.
Whitney text was, like, very wild. What Heather said about Whitney,
ooh,
saying she's a low-life, thirsty piece of shit, sold her soul for fame and recognition. She's a snake. I've been so stupid. The worst thing, Wild Rose didn't sell a single fucking cleanser or lip balm or whatever the fuck it even sold or was selling. I mean,
tried to sell.
That was pretty tough. I mean,
brutal.
Whitney is attempting to disembowel Jonathan Barlow via Lisa because of questions of whether Lisa dropped receipts or info or rumors or gossip about Prism using the same shit as Alibaba. Meanwhile, Heather's is directly selling, saying, I carried your product and nobody bought it.
And no one bought it. Fact. And Heather's saying that as fact. And they just wipe that under the rug and do their little bow to one another and they're all good.
Not fair.
Not fair. It's all because Whitney just wants to dethrone Lisa and she is jealous that Lisa is like queen of Salt Lake and Whitney thought she was going to be that and Whitney is not.
Okay, I know this conversation is just getting started. So head on over to part 2, available now.